Before we get started into the message this morning, one morning Troy come in. He said, "Mike," he said, "just tell everybody that I'm wearing my breakfast. I didn't eat it." He had it all over his shirt, you know. I said, "I'll do that, Troy." I told everybody, I said, "See, Troy, he's got breakfast all over his shirt, you know." Well, this morning, I'm going to confess, everybody may see it. If you're just an old country preacher, if you got your Bible duct taped together. See, I found some black duct tape. Now, that's pretty cool, isn't it? I went to get the duct tape, and it was silver, and I got to looking. I said, "There's some black. I think I'll just tape it together with black." But I dropped it this week, and it didn't do it much good. So it got forced into some duct tape, Brother Harold. And I said, that'll work. It doesn't matter. But if you see me, yes, it is duct tape on my Bible. And it works just fine. That's for sure. This morning, folks, we'll be at Genesis, like Brian says, 45 and 46. And we're continuing the story of Joseph. And Joseph this morning is going to reveal his identity to his brothers and to his dad. And we're going to see that, I hope you see, that as you look at this story, I want you to think about Christ. I want you to think about how this story reflects Jesus. Because it is. It's what Jesus is for us today. He's the sustainer of life. If it wasn't for Joseph, his family would have died. They would have starved to death. You remember what God told Abraham? He said, "It's going to be your descendants. Your descendants. It's going to be greater than all the stars." And at this point, the descendants of Abraham are 70. We're going to see that just in a minute. And so the descendants of Abraham are only 70. And he's talking about it's going to be greater than all the stars. Well, where's this coming from, God? It's done been about 250 years and we're only at 70 people. So what's going to happen here? And so we know that it is the truth. It is what happened. But we know also that Joseph, he wasn't the youngest. Benjamin was the youngest, but Joseph at that time was the youngest. And he had been sold to slavery. And so we know that the brothers, dad, everybody thought that Joseph was never to be seen again. They told his dad that he'd been killed. A wild animal probably got him. Here's his coat. It's got all kind of blood on it. Here's probably a wild animal eat him up. But it didn't. They sold him into slavery because they disliked him so much. And I want you to just think about this as you think about our own families. You know, you think about how we as brothers and sisters, we fought. We fought all the time, but we didn't want anybody messing with the other one because that's when the real fight would be on. But we could fight all we wanted to amongst ourselves. And that was how we did. And a lot of times, I would be so mad at my little brother Mark that I wanted to just choke him. But I didn't, but I wanted to. And a lot of times, Freddie lived with us more than he lived at home. He lived with us almost all the time. He is older than me. It was harder for me to choke him, but I'd try. I'd get on him and try to choke his mouth. Because, I mean, he'd make me so mad I couldn't stand it. So it was like this is how these brothers were. Joseph was in their way because their father loved him more than he did them. And they wanted to see him gone. And so as we start with the 45th chapter, we're not going to read all the names in the 46th chapter. We're going to skip over it. We're going to go through about verse 8 and the 46 and then jump back down to about 28 and pick back up. But just listen to the story, folks. This is such a wonderful, wonderful story about love, redemption. It's just a story that it fits each and every one of our lives. So Joseph, at this point now, Joseph had been sold into slavery. Joseph had been, we know that Joseph had been put into prison, and he had all kinds of things going for him. Not going for him, you might say, but going for him. At that time, it was not good. Everything happened to Joseph, it was never good. He got the raw end of the deal. And so that's where we're at. So now we're picking up right here. He was with, he had come to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had made him, had got him out of prison to answer a dream. What's this dream mean? And Joseph told him, he said, it means that we're going to have a drought. It's going to be 7 years of good, and then it's going to be 7 years of bad. And he said, so Pharaoh listened to him. He let Joseph be over the food supply. And Joseph kept enough food to keep everybody fed. And he managed to put this plan together to keep everybody alive, most everybody. And so doing this, his brothers were needing food. And so his brothers had come to Joseph twice to get food. And so they didn't know it was Joseph. They thought that it was somebody working for Pharaoh, and they called him, Brian may know how to pronounce this, I don't, Zephaniah. Is that pretty close?
Sounds good to me too,
because I don't know. But they had been coming to Joseph, and he'd been saying, oh, this is my name. It was his name. That's the name that Pharaoh had given him. So he wasn't telling them wrong. He was just wasn't telling them the full truth. So now they've come back, and so this is where it kind of picks up. Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room. And he said to his attendants, out, all of you. So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. Then he broke down and he wept. And he wept so loudly the Egyptians could hear him. And word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were speechless. They didn't know what to think. They thought, man, this dude's gone. We ain't got to ever worry about him again. And I can't believe that this is Joseph. He'd been telling me he was this other dude. Now he's telling me he's Joseph. So this is where we're at. So he says, is my father still alive? But his brothers were speechless, and they were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. Please come closer to me, he said. So they came closer. And he said again, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset. And don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. Now listen to this, folks. Here we're going to see four times Joseph is giving God the praise for him being where he's at. It's not these boys' problem that he was sold into slavery. These guys, y'all didn't have nothing to do with it. This was because God wanted me to. And it says, it was God who sent me here ahead of you. To preserve your lives. The famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you. You hear that? That's twice. To keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here. Third time. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace and the governor of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and tell him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me the master over all the land of Egypt. Not Pharaoh, not anybody else. God has brought me here. Four times he said that. God has brought me here. So come down to me immediately. You can live in the region of Goshen, where you can be near me with all your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and everything you own. I will take care of you there, for there are still 5 years of famine ahead of us. Otherwise, you, your household, and all your animals will starve. Then Joseph added, look, you can see for yourself, and so can my brother Benjamin, that I really am Joseph. Go tell my father of my honored position here in Egypt. Describe for him everything you have seen, and then bring my father here quickly. Weeping with joy, he embraced Benjamin. Now, Benjamin's the baby. Benjamin and Joseph have the same mama and the same daddy. So he's close to Benjamin. He's grabbed him, and he's really, really embraced him. And Benjamin did the same. Then Joseph kissed each of his brothers and wept over them. And after they had begun talking freely, after that they began talking freely with him. So the news soon reached Pharaoh's palace. Joseph's brothers had arrived. Pharaoh and his officials were all delighted to hear this. Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, this is what you must do. Load your pack animals and hurry back to the land of Canaan. Then get your father and all of your families and return here to me. I will give you the very best land in Egypt, and you will eat from the best that the land produces. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, take wagons from the land of Egypt to carry your little children and your wives and bring your father here. Don't worry about your personal belongings, for the best of all, the land of Egypt, is yours. So the sons of Jacob did as he were told. Joseph provided them with wagons as Pharaoh had commanded, and he gave them supplies for the journey, and he gave each of them new clothes. But Benjamin, he gave 5 changes of clothes and 300 pieces of silver. He also sent his father 10 male donkeys loaded with the finest products of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other supplies that he would need on his journey back to him. So Joseph sent his brothers off, and as they left, he called after them, don't quarrel about all these things along the way. And they left Egypt and returned to their father, Jacob, in the land of Canaan. Joseph is still alive, they told him. Now they're back to their father now. Joseph is still alive, they told him, and he is governor of all the land of Egypt. Jacob was stunned at the news. He couldn't believe it. But when he repeated that Jacob had repeated it to Jacob, everything Joseph had told them, and when he saw the wagons Joseph had sent to carry him, their father's spirits revived. Then Jacob explained, it must be true my son Joseph is alive. I must go and see him before I die. So Jacob set out for Egypt with all of his possessions. And when he came to Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to God of his father Isaac. Now, I want you to listen to this right here. This is very important. When he got to Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to God of his father Isaac. And during the night, God spoke to him in a vision. Jacob, Jacob, he called. Here I am, Jacob replied. I am God, the God of your father, the voice said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make your family into a great nation. I will go with you down to Egypt, and I will bring you back again. You will die in Egypt, but Joseph will be there with you to close your eyes. So Jacob left Beersheba, and his sons took him to Egypt. They carried him and their little ones and their wives in the wagons and Pharaoh had provided for them. They also took all their livestock and all their personal belongings that they had acquired in the land of Canaan. So Jacob and his entire family went to Egypt, sons and grandsons, daughters and granddaughters, and all the descendants. Now we're going to skip over all the descendants, and we're going to drop down to 26. The total number of Jacob's direct descendants who went with him to Egypt, not counting his sons' wives, was 66. In addition to Joseph, who had 2 sons who were born in Egypt, so altogether there were 70 members of Jacob's family in the land of Egypt. As they neared the destination, Jacob said to Judah, Jacob sent Judah ahead to meet Joseph and get directions to the region of Goshen. And when they finally arrived there, Joseph prepared his chariot and traveled to Goshen to meet his father, Jacob. When Joseph arrived, he embraced his father and wept, holding him for a long time. And finally, Jacob said to Joseph, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen your face again and know you are still alive." And Joseph said to his brothers and his father's entire family, "I will go to Pharaoh and tell him my brothers and my father's entire family have come to me from the land of Canaan. And when these men are shepherds, and they were raised livestock, they have brought with them their flocks, herds, and everything they own." Then he said, "When Pharaoh calls for you and asks you about your occupation, you must tell him, 'We, your servants, have raised livestock all our lives, and our ancestors have always, like our ancestors have always done.' And when you tell him this, he will let you live here in the region of Goshen, for the Egyptians despise shepherds." This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Folks, to me, this story of Joseph, it's just been awesome. It is so good. So we see that Joseph has been telling the boys that's been coming to get grain that he's been giving them his Egyptian name, which I can't pronounce, but I did once for you. But he's been giving them that Egyptian name, and they had no idea it was Joseph. Can you imagine how they felt? They were the ones that had sold him into slavery. They're the ones that had done away with him. They're the ones that tried to cover it up, took the coat back to the father and told him, "They guess something happened to Joseph. I don't know. He must have got out here and got eat up by a bear or something. I don't know what happened to him." And so we know that they thought, "We're done with Joseph. We'll never have to deal with him again." And then he says to the boys, "Boys, come here. I want to tell you something. Everybody, get out of the room. I want to talk to these men. I want to talk to them and tell them exactly who I am." And he told them, he said, "I'm Joseph, the one that you sold." And they wouldn't believe him. And he said, "Come closer. I want you to come closer where you can feel me. Touch me. I want you to be where you can hear my voice. I'm Joseph." Does this ring like anything we've ever heard in the New Testament, folks? Is this what Jesus said? "Touch me. Thomas, you don't believe. Thomas, you are doubting that I'm God. I am Jesus. I'm the one risen from the dead. Touch me. Put your fingers in these scars." This is what very same thing that Jesus was telling the disciples. If you doubt me, then touch me. At first, he said, "Don't touch me." But then he allowed them to touch him. So we see that Joseph is telling the boys, "You need to come close. You need to know and understand that I am your brother." And so we know that it was four times, like we read a while ago, that he was telling them that God, he says, don't be excited or worried that I'm going to take you out back and have these guys whip you. Don't be worried about all that. I'm not going to take any kind of revenge on you." Really? I don't know that I wouldn't. I guarantee you one thing, I'd have probably said, if I had somebody to help me, I'd have had a little help. But if I'd had a little help and he could have got anybody he wanted, I'd have said, "Boys, take Mark and Freddie right out there and give them a whipping and let me watch it. Because this is going to be the best show I've seen." And, I mean, it would have been worth it. But he said, "No, I'm not going to do anything to you. I'm not going to bother you. I'm here to give you life. I'm here because God sent me." Four times he said to the boys, "God is the one that sent me here, not you. It was in God's plan that you sell me as a slave. It was in God's plan that I end up in prison. It was in God's plan that while I was in prison, I was able to talk about the dreams that everybody had had. It was God who gave me these words to tell y'all what these dreams meant. It wasn't me. It's nothing I've done. It's God. And so we see that he's giving God the credit for every bit of it. Folks, y'all ain't got time right now for me to talk about my life. But if you ever want to, I'm available. I can tell you. And JT will tell you, don't go there. Just stay out of that deal because it's a big story. But I can tell you with my life where I put myself in prison. Not up here in jail. I'm talking about in prison. I can tell you where I've been in prison. I can tell you all about just about where Joseph has been. And when if you want to listen and had time, I don't mind telling you. And I can show you that there's a time when you think that there's no way out of this. There's no way that my life will ever turn around. There's no way that I could ever, ever have a life or have very much of anything. I can't figure it. I've thought and thought and thought and thought about it. But God has a different plan for your life. And it doesn't matter what age you are. If he wants to turn your life around, he'll turn it around and he will make a difference. And you will make a difference for him and you'll make a difference in somebody else's life. I don't know who I've made a difference in their life for, but I bound to have made a difference in somebody's life by doing something. I don't know what it was, but there had to be something. So you will make a difference in somebody else's life. I don't care who you are. And if you allow God, he has a place for you in this world to work for him. We see the weeping of joy. You know, I think everybody here has wept at the death of a loved one. We've cried so hard that it's hurt us from way down deep at the death of a loved one. But I pray that you have also experienced joy, because I have experienced joy to the point that you couldn't keep from crying. That is awesome, folks. That is absolutely wonderful. And he is weeping with joy because that he has his brothers there with him. And he can't wait for them to go and get his dad and bring him back to him. You know, this story is so much about forgiveness. Supplier of life, yes, he was. He had control of the grain. He had control of what they needed. But God has control of you, folks. God is the supplier of your life. God has everything that you need. And besides that, he is the supplier of your eternal life, because he has full control. You will, through God, through his son Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, you will have eternal life. You can have eternal life if you decide not to live for this world, but to live for God. I had to make that choice, folks. I had to make that choice somewhere in the late 30s, maybe 40. I had to make that choice. I can't live for this world and live for God too. I can't do it. Now, which one do I want to do? And it took me a little bit, because the devil told me every day, you don't want to live for God. You don't want to do that. You don't want to go there. But in my heart, in my deepest longing, in the deepest part of my heart, I wanted to be closer to God than I did the devil. And I had to make that decision. And that's what this is about. It's about forgiveness. And Joseph was alive in the land of Egypt. He was governor over the land. And when he told his dad, when the boys told his dad, he had a hard time believing. And he said, I want to go, and I want to see Joseph. But you know, here's where the story gets very interesting to me. I ain't got but just a minute. But this is, he gets all of his stuff packed up, And it would be like him being out here, living right over here somewhere. And he gets all of his stuff packed up. And he says, okay, we're going down to Chattanooga. That's where Joseph's at. We're going to live down there in this lush mountain area. And we're going to really have a good time living with Joseph. And he can feed us. And so we get to Camden and Beersheba. And he stops. And he communes with God. The same place that Abraham communed with God, the same place Isaac communed with God, Genesis 26, I think it's about 22 or 25, somewhere right in there. And Isaac asked God if he could go to Egypt, and God said, no, you cannot go to Egypt. You stay right here. It was a famine. It was hard. It was tough times. He said, God, I need to go to Egypt because I need to get down there with them where they got plenty to eat. He said, no, you're not going, Isaac. Just get over here somewhere and get still. You're fine. God's told me that before. Do I want to hear it? No, I didn't want to hear it. That's what he's told me. That's what I had to do. I had to get somewhere. I had to get still until he told me further direction. And this is what... where they're at. They're at Beersheba, the same place Abraham and Isaac was. And Jacob gets there, and Isaac had dug a well there and everything. Had a well dug. And he gets there, and he pulls in, and he stops. And he said, before we go any further, I've got to hear from the Lord. I've got to hear from God that it's okay for us to go to Egypt. I want to see Joseph so bad. But if it's not God's will that I go see Joseph, I'm not going to see Joseph. And he asked God, God, can I go to Egypt? Can I take my family and go to Egypt? And God says to him, sure, take your family and go to Egypt. And let me tell you, Jacob, you will die there in Egypt. Joseph will be there to close your eyes. He'll be with you the day you die. So he said, it's all going to be fine. You're good. You go. And that's what we know took place. He went to Egypt, and as he was there with Joseph, what did he say when he got there? This is Joseph, and he loved on him, and he loved on him, and he loved on him. And they cried, and they cried. Joyful tears. Not sad tears, joyful tears. And his daddy said, I'm ready to die, Lord. I've seen all I wanted to see. I've seen it all. Is that what Simeon said when he saw baby Jesus? I've seen him. I've seen the Lord. I'm ready to die. Folks, there's so much New Testament in this story of Joseph and the Old Testament. There's so much of Jesus. There's so much of Scripture that we like to live by today. We don't want to hear all these old stories. We want to hear the new stuff. We want to hear the good stuff. Everything written in red, that is good. That's real good. But we also need to know, how did all of that written in red get started? What got it started? How did it begin to come about? What brought all these people together for the story that's written in red? And we know that as he got there, Joseph had told them that they would live in Goshen, and that's exactly what Pharaoh told them. And it was a lush place, cattle, it was perfect for cattle and sheep. It was the perfect place for them to live. And David was there when Joseph closed his eyes for the last time. And folks, I hope you never have to experience being there with someone, but in a sense, it's one of the grandest things that ever was. I hope my family's with me. And when you take your fingers and pull their eyes down, he was there to close his eyes for the last time. I can't imagine anything any more beautiful than this story is, where we leave it off right here. And Brian will close it next Sunday, and we'll move into getting ready for Easter. And folks, it's a it's going to be just a wonderful closing point. I hope today you see Joseph, his life wasn't really good until right now. It's just now picked up and started being good. It's just right now that he's got to be the governor of Egypt. It's just now that he is beginning to be what God has called him to be, the leader he's called him to be. And so we see that Joseph is doing his best to be what God called him to be. Are we doing our best to be what God has called us to be? Do you even know what God has called you to be? Have you ever asked God to show you what God would like for you to be? What he would like for you to do? I hope, folks, that you have. And I hope that you know your direction that God has sent you. It's one thing to roam around not knowing your direction. You know, I was so mad, I told Dan, I was so mad when I graduated high school. The only thing I wanted to do, David, I wanted to buy me a motorcycle, and I wanted to leave, and I wanted to ride the coast all the way around. I wanted to come all the way around and just take a 2 or 3 weeks and then stop, make me some money, and then get back on it and ride it another 2 or 3 weeks and just stop and work a while. But if I'd have done that, I would not be where I'm at today. God knew that. And he had his finger on me, and he would not let me go. And I was hollering and screaming and mad. I was mad, folks, because this is what I had planned on doing. But God had other plans for me. But it was so many times that I had plans to do this or do that, God didn't let me do it. So, folks, this story of Joseph, I'm quite sure fits a lot of y'all's lives. I pray that you know your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I pray that you live each and every day to fulfill his desires for your life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.